This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of In The Black. We are excited for 2020. The next two episodes, we're doing a two-part series here. We're going through all some planning stuff. You know, start of the year, planning, preparation, all that stuff, that is important. And don't feel like, okay, we're through Jan. It's like the busiest month for gyms. Still all good. You can still plan at this time. It's not too late for any of that
stuff. You need to be on your game at this time of the year if you have a gym. Yeah. Like, on your game. If you think you're on holidays, that is madness.
Because if you feel like you miss planning now, like, you won't do it till this time again. Yes, so, do it now. Yeah, don't make an excuse.
Best time to plan is, like, you know, 2 months before you need to or today.
I don't want
to
hear that shit. Oh, man. That was a really funny meme that I would love to pull up, but my phone's not here to show you. Fuck, it was funny. I'll show you after the show. Okay, let's get back to the focus, helping you guys make more money, live a better life. Before we get into it, we have been alluding to a massive announcement that's huge. This is not that announcement. I guess this is part of the announcement, but as of the end of last year, Raf and I, as some of you that listened to the show for a while would have known, Raf and I own the gym with a third business partner, Rory. He's very excited for him. He's moving on to the next stage of his life. It is now just Raf and I at the helm, running Creature and also running the podcast now. And then, of course, we'll be involved together in the new announcement and venture coming up. So, very exciting stuff. New chapter for us, new chapter for Rory, but you're going to obviously get hear big from us. So, yeah, maybe if you know him, reach out, tell him you're excited for the next part of his life. And, yeah, here we go. All right.
We are pumped. So, these two episodes, so we're going to have this one and we're going to have a part two coming next week.
Yeah.
And the goal with this is, I mean, you can just take what you hear from in these two episodes and you can really plan out the next 12 months and the next quarter.
Yeah.
And get really, really switched on with it. I think, you know, in the first few years when we didn't have coaching, we were just doing whatever in the gym. This was like the biggest piece missing.
Huge.
Because if you think about it, we would work all year. Like, we worked hard, right? Mm. Always worked hard. We would work for 12 months and we had never even set aside a few hours to plan out the 12 months. Like, it is pretty crazy when you weigh it up like that, right? It's like...
Yeah. And it's not like it has to be like days and days and weeks
but
of planning.
We wouldn't even really put an hour or two into it. No. And then we'd work at that non-existent plan for 12 months.
Yeah. And just wonder why we weren't getting paid enough.
And that's how you end up 1 year later in the same position you were the year before.
Yeah, 100%. Now, all the stuff we're about to run through in the next two episodes, which is kind of from the most high-level planning down to the nitty-gritty, is what we have been running through and what we've been taken through with our coaches, MPA. You guys know, you've heard the last few episodes, they are a sponsor of the podcast now. They have been mentoring and coaching us for the last 2.5 years. So, they do fitness business coaching, essentially. What we're about to go through, this is all the stuff they take us through. So, you're going to probably have heard it before and thinking, oh, wow, the MMP guys are on top of these things. It's always free with us, of course. But, you know, if you're listening to this stuff and you're deciding, fuck, you know, this stuff's awesome, but I have trouble implementing it. I get stuck on question four or no one just holds me accountable to it. And I planned really well, but there was no execution. Just get coaching with these guys. Yeah. So, let's get through these two-part series. The link to the coaching is always in the description of this episode. So if this stuff resonates with you and you're like, man, this is really good shit. I need a coach to be taking me through this. Then jump on board. Some of you are perfectly capable. You can take this information right now. You don't need a coach to hold me accountable and you just crush. That's like 1 in 20 people.
Yep.
It's like 1 in 15 people. So if you feel like you're at that point now and you guys, you know, you're hearing this and you just want to kind of take it to the next level, you want the accountability, you want the coaching, just click that link. All right. So, first part we've got is owner's intent.
So this is, I mean, this is the most important thing. And this is really how we look at it, it's the North Star.
Mm.
So this is like your North Star of where you're heading as an owner of the business, not as an employee of the business. Mm. And I know pretty much everyone, including us, like we do both, right? We own it and we work inside the business as well. But you've got to have a real intent as an owner of what you want to get out of it. Because that will allow you to really look at how you're going to spend your time in the next 12 months and make sure it's prioritized towards your owner's intent.
Okay, so give people your owner's intent for this year, for Creature, and that will give people an idea of how they could set their own owner's intent.
Yeah, so I think a really good way to start with it is to just review. So, review the last 12 months and say like, hey, what was my intent for the year? And that can be an interesting process because you didn't really set it for the last year, but you think about, hey, what was I trying to achieve? And then out of that, and that's what the process I went through, and then out of that, I started to kind of, okay, this is the intent we want to get to. We want to grow the gyms to this size. This is how I would love to spend my week. I'm actually not, you know, coaching on the floor at 4 a.m. every morning. That's not my intent of why I started the business.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be it. So it's going to be part of what I'm not doing and part of what I am doing. It's going to be, man, I'm looking after this many coaches and I have like this help from a virtual assistant. That's the intent of this business. I want to impact this many lives in the year. And that's the ultimate goal of where I'm heading. And that makes it clear because, you know, implicit in what you are doing is also what you're not doing.
Yeah.
So maybe if you're like, hey, I want to grow to two locations that do this. You know, what's not in there is like maybe starting an app. So then 3 months in, when you like think about an app or a meal delivery company you want to start, it's like, well, that wasn't your intent at the start of the year. So maybe change what you wrote down or stick with what you said.
Yeah. And I think that your intent becomes clearer and clearer the longer you do it. Because I think when you start out, there is a lot of unknown about what you can expect from your business, how it's going to be, how successful you're going to be, or what work is required to get to what level. And then after you've been in it for a while, you know, this is our 7th year that we've been in gyms. It's like you are a lot more clear because your expectations are a lot more realistic.
Yep.
And so your intent is a lot more aligned. And so, yeah, I just echo the same things as Raph. The intention is like, okay, how do I want to spend my days, my weeks? How much money do I want to pull out of the business? We're going to get to that sort of stuff, financial goals. But how do we want the whole operation to run? You know, I was having this conversation the other day with a friend in the car, and it was like, hey, when we started gyms, there wasn't really an established business model. Whereas if you take like a cafe, for example, cafes have been around for a very fucking long time and they have very established business models, best practices, a lot of laws, you know, just kind of regulations and stuff. The fitness industry is so new. Like there has been like kind of one main business model, which is obviously like the Fitness First, the Virgin Active, you know, here's a big space with lots of leased equipment. You pay a really cheap membership. Hopefully you don't show up and you just keep paying us money. And then like, yeah, there's some PT subcontractors work around the floor. That's been probably the most established model for a while. Obviously, CrossFit brought the new model in, which, you know, there were some garage gyms like, you know, the Joe DeFranco's and
Zach Evanesh
and that sort of stuff. And the Luca Hossevars, they were doing their small gyms. But when CrossFit made it mainstream, you know, people were like, cool, classes, you pay coaches for the class, you just pay a weekly membership, there's no contracts. That was kind of the model. And now we're just starting to create some best practices, right? We're starting to be more established with how these things are. And so that, I think, you know, figuring that out is super important.
Exactly. And then where you might finish off once you got that done is you're like, hey, I want time, at least 2 hours every day to work on my health and fitness.
Yeah.
A lot of people missed out on that. I want to earn, you know, over $7,000, over $5,000, over $10,000 a month, whatever it is, like pull that from the business. And I want to work with, you know, not more than 10 clients at the gym that are like super involved in my life and I can get transformations.
Mm.
And like, maybe that's actually why you started the business in the first place. So get that intent down. And then I think the second part, and it's what we worked on with MPE, is going into the happiness metric. Cause that's a big one. Like, you've got to be happy with the business. And it's, you know, often you can meet gym owners that aren't that happy or like regret it or like, you know, how do I get out of this? How do I go all online and just like, you know, live in Costa Rica?
Bali.
Yes, it's because they're happy. And, you know, when we're going through our happiness metric, questions we're asking ourselves, like, hey, how happy am I with how I spend my time in the business? How happy am I with the performance and growth of the business? And start answering those questions. How happy really are you with the business and with what you do with your time?
I'm absolutely shocked how many gym owners don't get out of business when they should. And if you could only meet the people that got out, and there's no better time to get out, they just got out, and how fucking happy they were that they were out. I'm telling you right now, for a lot of people, it's worth it.
Mm.
Now, if you love gyms, if you love helping people, if you love different aspects of the gym, you might do a podcast. You might love the podcast side of things. You might do the sales. You might love the sales side of things. Heck, you might even love the spreadsheet side of things. Whatever it is, you've got to kind of lean more into that thing through the year. Now, you still have a gym, right? So there are still certain, you can't just all of a sudden do a podcast and then leave your other responsibilities. You need to learn how to hire around those things. But it's really that figuring out that owner's intent, figuring out what's going to dictate your happiness throughout the year and just kind of lean more in towards those things and just keep those in the front of your mind, you know, as you make decisions throughout the year. Okay, well, I'm going to actually spend a little bit more on the profits on this new hire because I don't like doing the failed payments. So, and I said that for me to be happy, you know, my day-to-day wouldn't look like chasing out failed payments for 2 hours every morning, you know? So just things like that, that really help high level end up at a micro level, making decisions really easy for you.
Exactly. And then I think when you finish off with that, you know, even if you want the quick and dirty way to do it, it's just, hey, write down 5 things that take away from your happiness.
Mm,
five things that really improve it. And where I think most gym owners, and probably we've got stuck, is often you get your happiness to like a 3 out of 5 with your business.
Mm.
And then you get a bit lazy trying to get to a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Because that's hard.
Yeah.
You know, getting it to the point where you're like, I love it.
That's a good point.
Is really, really tough. And where I see most humans like, man, I'm happy. Like, it's way better than Uber driving. Like, I can't complain. You know? And it's true. You can't complain. You live in a good country if you're listening to this. But, you know, let's do the work and let's take it from a 3 to a 5.
Yeah. No, I like that. That's good.
Cool. This third part, and obviously we're keeping it high level on this first episode, is the 5 Voices test. And we've talked about this for sure on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a book.
Not for a while.
It's a book we like. I actually listened to the audio version. I didn't read it, but the audio version was pretty entertaining. And it really just gets you, you become one of these 5 voices after you do the assessment. It tells you which one you are, tells you what your secondary one is, obviously your third and your fourth and the one that you really struggle with. And you find your leadership voice. So what type of real leader or person are you? And there's a few different options. Lockie is actually a pioneer.
Pioneer creative, I believe.
Pioneer and then secondary creative. Yeah. Whereas I am a guardian. And secondary pioneer. And probably what you'll find maybe is that if you really love working with clients, you might be a nurturer, someone looks after us. If you really like creative stuff, you might be a creative. Or if you spend all day like texting people and organizing meetups, could be a connector.
Mm.
But the point of this assessment, and if you get the
I think I'm secondary connector.
Mm, I think you are.
Yeah, secondary connector. Yes.
Secondary connector, yeah. Third creative.
Yeah.
Once you go through an assessment like this, and it's really interesting, when you read the book, you'll find out more, but you find out what, obviously, you're naturally drawn to, and what's an easy voice for you to find, that connecting voice, or that pioneering to lead the team voice. But you also find out the biggest one is your fourth one. It's pretty interesting. So it's not the fifth one, not the one you're like the worst at.
Because you're most aware that you're...
you know you suck at that. Yeah, you know, yeah. You're like the person that's like...
Nurture, I suck at.
Yeah, it's like whatever it is. Like connector, I'm like, man, I like never have organized a meetup with a friend in my life. I've like never reached out to someone. You're connected. So you know you suck at it. The worst ones is that fourth one because you don't realize how bad you are at it.
It's unconscious incompetence. Yeah, you don't even know you're bad at it.
Don't even know you're bad at it. And that's what they really hammer down in the book. It's like, hey, that's the one. Do the assessment. See where your blind spots are.
Mm.
And you're going to still access, you know, your main voice, you know, probably for a long period of time. But you'll be aware of like, hey, I know I struggle with this.
Mm.
So when I'm talking to my staff or I'm maybe organizing like, hey, should I be in charge of the social events if I'm really bad as a connector? Probably not.
Yeah.
And you can start to really find out that's why they're always a flop.
Yeah. Now, I would say there's a, like, when you do this sort of stuff, because essentially it's like a personality test, I think it's just more practical than like the 16 personalities and stuff like this. It's just way more easy to memorize. And anyone that ever applies for a job through our website has to go through the barrier of doing that first to submit their application.
Oh, so you could just go on our website and do the test?
Yeah, you can. Perfect. We get all the tests we take. So everyone that submits a career application, they do the love languages, they do the 5 voices, and they do the 4 tendencies. So I get all that information before I ever open a conversation with them. Consistently, coaches always apply. The number one voice is nurture, which is great. It's just like, it's a really good sign. You know, if your number one voice is pioneer, and pioneers just don't really become coaches, which is why I just fell out of coaching because I just wasn't a natural thing for me. But I think I stayed in it for when I, as long as I did, or with certain clients because I was a connector.
Mm.
So I loved the networking aspect. That's the trying to get, I have to remember to actually get people to do exercise in the PT sessions when I used to do them because I just love to talk about it with people. And then quite often they wouldn't end up doing enough of a workout. But I think the point with this stuff is once you bring awareness to those areas and you're consciously working on them, even though you reveal the area, the fourth one you were saying, then you get very good at just, now there's almost like a compounding effect because it's at your front of your mind all the time that you work on it constantly. You go, okay, this, and this, and I know my weakness is this, so someone help me here. Yeah. Or like, I'm going to avoid this sort of thing, or I'm going to bring someone in to help me here. So I always know, and this is like the natural dynamic that you and I have forged as the leaders in the business is like, you know, I'm just going to be running straight ahead with like heaps of ideas. And because you're the guardian, you kind of put the force field around and you like go, okay, but did you think about this? Did you think about that? Okay, here's the model for the idea you had. It works in this way, but you need to change this thing. And that's like where you get... in this particular case, it might be if you're a sole business owner, this might be with your second in charge. This is when you get the perfect synergy and the business becomes really exponential. And when like in Silicon Valley, when investors are looking for a successful startup, in the founders, quite often there's 2 founders, they look for this combination. They look for the combination of like...
The salesman and the tech person.
Yeah, like they call it the builder and then they call it like the salesperson. Yeah. And you're more like the builder personality type, like... has that technical knowledge, the mathematical mind, and then there's like the salesman. So that's the person who's out there who's can like market everything and like sells it with passion and like all this sort of stuff. And that's why, like, it just obviously happened by chance. Mm. We weren't, I wasn't like, oh, I fucking need a builder. Like, I need to find this person. This is just shit you learn later. That's why our combination is so deadly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be an awesome one. And if you want to go, you can just do the assessment. You do not need to read the book. But if you want to go deeper, I'd recommend the audio book.
It's a good book.
Yeah. It's fun. So, and then the fourth one is some financial goals. So obviously you're going to set in the owner's intent, maybe like, hey, I want to earn this much money. But if you're a business owner, you've got to put a bit more effort in than that. And you've got to, you know, take a look at your profit and loss statement for the year before, see how it went, man. You know, you see a lot of gym owners that bring in a lot of money and start just donating to other people's charities, like landlords and, you know, computer services. And sometimes it can be hard to break it to people that, you know, they've worked really hard, they've generated a lot of money, and, you know, usually the landlord's got much wealthier out of their gym than they have. And it's just, sometimes it's the truth. And you've got to then, you know, rip back through that profit and loss statement, see where your money's going, and just see, hey, like, where do I want to grow the business's financial goals to this year? And that's going to be part of the dream. And that's slightly different to your own personal financial goals in the intent. But I think you've got to have a look at that, because then once you know that aspect of it, then you can start getting into, like, how many members do I need? What do I need to charge the members? Because, you know, you don't start with member goals.
No.
You know, that's not the... And that's often... You know, we had that mistake when we first started. How many members we want in this place?
We want 100 members.
We'll just make 100 free members and you probably achieve it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the goal set. 100 terrible members. Sounds horrific.
Yeah.
Set some... Once you got your owner's intent, then get some financial goals down on paper. And I think the only way you can realistically do that is by reviewing previous years. And if you haven't started a business, I wish we did this in the start. You know, go find someone that maybe like has a profit and loss statement for their gym.
Yeah.
You know, and just take a look. Okay, I'm thinking about running this. How much does like water cost you and rent and electricity and staff? And you might be surprised that the new venture you were thinking about opening maybe isn't as good or is even better than you thought.
Yeah. And I would say to add on to that is most likely the business model that you've decided to build in your head, even if you're running it at the moment or you're planning on opening one, it's most likely just fabricated off the ideas of what you've seen people do in the past without really ever sitting down with them and going, is this actually a good business model? Because if you probably ask them, you go, hey, I kind of saw what you're doing. You look successful. They're like, hey, dude, I haven't turned a profit in like 2 years. Then
until you actually see someone's like tax return they sent off to the tax office, you really don't know.
No. You don't know. And business owners always inflate their numbers. Yep. When someone tells me something, I'm always like, I halve it. I always halve it. Dude, I did $10,000 profit this month. I'm like, okay, you probably did five. That's still pretty good. Like, yeah, but you didn't do 10. Yeah, 100%. Unless you show me. Or they might go...
But all the time, it's like, well, I did 10, but I bought 3 rowers and an air bike. So, you know, it was only $2,000.
Yeah. And I had a huge tax debt and stuff that I'm paying off. So, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, but... Hopefully, just to cover it off again for you guys, owner's intent, financial goals, happiness, and the five voices. If you guys start with that, it's the most high-level stuff you can set for the start of this year. It is not too late to get started on it, so absolutely dive into it, and you can set it all up. And you'll need, obviously, really good software to manage it all. Wattify is like the software that we use for a ton of this stuff. It tracks everything. It's got dashboards. It's got health metrics of how your business is going. So, if you need something for this year, they help you with the setup, with the changeover. They have their team taking care of it. It's not a team in India. It is a team in Philadelphia. They speak American. They are American. They help you out. They're working on all different time zones. So, if you're like, oh, well, it's the American team. I'm Australian. No, they run like Australian shifts. Yeah. So, they're there doing night shifts and that. So, they're an incredible team. So, if you guys go to the link in the description or wattify.com/MMP, you guys can sign up. They also for... Anyone, whether you're a customer looking to start up or you're a new customer looking to join or you're a current customer, you guys can go to the Wattify sites section and you can build a website with them, or they build a website for you, I should say. They build a fully optimized website, SEO, email capture, lead generation, everything fully optimized, and that's it. That's it. $0 setup fee till the end of Feb. So make sure you don't miss that.
Yes.
That is a huge saving. It's like a $600-$700 saving.
Yeah, it's killer.
So check that out. Links in the description. And then, of course, guys, you know, MPA. Mentioned at the start. Not going to say it again. Links in the description. If you're feeling it, go check it out. Guys, thank you so much for listening. And part two next week, we're going to go into the nitty-gritty of planning your quarter. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.